Well, good afternoon. It's good to be back with all of you after a tasty lunch, a wonderful lunch. Let's just begin our time celebrating baptisms and new members by standing, and we'll sing, "Oh, How Good It Is." How good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruits of His presence here among us. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. Oh, how good it is when this journey we share, to rejoice with the happy and weep with those who mourn. For the weak find strength, the afflicted find grace, when we offer the blessing of belonging. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, His word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. Oh, how good it is to embrace His command, to prefer one another, forgive as He forgives. When we live as one, we all share in the love of the Son with the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word, till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for being out here at this baptism service. For us to understand even... come over here a little bit more. In order to understand the significance of baptism, we need to understand the gospel that comes first. So baptism itself is a response and a demonstration of the gospel. The good news. And the good news is that Christ died for sinners. He came to give His life for that purpose. And when an innocent person allows their life to be taken in the place of another's, love has been demonstrated, and this is what Christ has done. He went to the cross. He took the punishment. Why does Jesus need to take our punishment? Why can't God just forgive all the sins of all people right now? Why did He even need to suffer? Well, He had to suffer because God is just, and that's why. So He suffered that sin would not go unpunished. No good judge lets criminals off the hook, no matter how small. Only a shady and corrupt judge would do that. But the God of heaven and earth is not able to be corrupted, polluted, bribed. He's perfect in all of his ways, which is a good thing, except for those of us who may have broken his laws and sinned against him and violated our conscience. One day we'll have to stand before that great, good, and holy judge who will not and cannot let sin go. But the good God loved us enough that he would make a way for us to be forgiven for every crime and sin. There's a way for that punishment not to fall upon our heads so that we might escape judgment in hell. And so he sends his own divine Son for that purpose. The greatest act of love by God was done by sending his Son on a rescue mission to save us from punishment. Christ came to earth from heaven, took on flesh, dwelt among us, and lived a life of flawless perfection in God's sight. But he came for that specific reason. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he bore our sins in his body. If Jesus was innocent, then why would he take on something that he didn't deserve? Because God must punish sin, so he took it for us. It is either we who must bear our sins in hell, or his Son takes it for you in order to endure that punishment. Either way, someone has to take it. So Jesus came to die for our sins so that he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, as the scripture says. Jesus, therefore, is the only way to be forgiven by God. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father unless it is through him. How do we get access to that eternal life? We entrust ourselves to Christ. We believe in him. We trust on his sacrifice that he did this for us. And through this, we are forgiven, and we are made righteous in his sight, and become a new creature. That's what leads us to baptism, the gospel. So baptism today is essentially going to be a reenactment of these events of Christ through his death and resurrection. And the classic text on baptism is in Romans 6, 4 to 7. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So in baptism, we're demonstrating that we're buried alongside Christ. And on the third day, as he was raised again, we likewise will say farewell to that old body, that old self, and we welcome the new birth that the Lord has given to us when we trusted in him. We now have a spirit-born power and freedom from a life of sin. How can a person who's been born again, been baptized in Christ, take comfort in a sinful lifestyle again? They can't. How can a person who's been changed by God go backwards to their former ways and desires? It's impossible. And so baptism represents a saying goodbye of the old man and a welcoming embrace of the new. He who lives now lives in the righteousness of Christ and in his freedom. Therefore, we as a congregation today have a great opportunity. We have the privilege of rejoicing with William McKenzie as he takes a significant step of obedience to Christ. Baptism itself is a public declaration of Christ before the world and all the witnesses. And so with this in mind, please welcome forward William McKenzie. And so, William, do you confess Christ to be the Lord and Savior?
I do.
All right, please tell us about it.
My name is William McKenzie. I was born and raised in Campbell River, B.C. The Lord placed me in a family who had spiritual leanings and periodically went to church. I recall fond early memories in Sunday school with the Good News Bears at a four-square church in town. Once junior high came around, we stopped going to church, though prayer was still part of my life. For most of my life, I've felt conflicted regarding my faith. But for the last few years, I have felt a strong drawing back to the Lord and to the church. COVID helped me to think deeply about the faith and strength that others possessed in these trying times. Christians were holding fast to their convictions and lived lives with a steadfast faith in the Lord. At this point, I started to attend other churches, and by God's grace, found Meadowlands Baptist Church. I felt welcomed here immediately by people like Christy and Lee, who spoke to me and were kind and welcoming. I also saw Pastor Jeff, who I had worked with previously. It was a pleasant surprise. Shortly after this, with sins weighing heavily upon my heart, I confessed my sins to the Christ, my advocate, and felt the burden lift, knowing that Christ would be with me and has forgiven me. This is why I want to get baptized today. Now the Lord has provided me the courage to rely upon Him for strength in tackling the weight of my sins head on, including with my struggles with alcohol. I feel like a new creature, as it is said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My conflictions with faith now gone, I realize Christ is with me and my eyes are set upon Him. As Scripture says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:1-2.
So, Bill, are you believing in the finished work of Christ? Is death and resurrection by faith alone?
Yes.
Right. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you very much.
Well, amen. What a powerful and a wonderful testimony to hear, and a great comfort to know that for those who are His, that He will hold us fast. So let's stand together and we'll sing, He Will Hold Me Fast.
My faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. Hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. For my life He bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, He will hold me fast. Raised with Him to endless life,
for your singing. You may be seated.
Well, that was such a blessing to hear Bill and what the Lord has done in his life, and to see that picture of the gospel in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And those who are in Christ then are buried with Him and raised with Him, and we rejoice in that. It's kind of like an illustration may be getting a passport. I don't know if everyone has a passport, but if you ever want to travel outside of Canada, you need one. But a passport is really a piece of ID that really communicates two kinds of identification. One is your own personal identity. There's a picture in there. There's your full name, your date of birth, some number normally. Does anyone know your passport number? I don't know mine, but there's some number that identifies you, and so maybe there's some other things in there, but it is a personal ID, and so you can show that, and in an airport, they can look at your name and match your picture and look at your boarding pass and say, yeah, that's you. Or you could use it at customs. Okay, this matches or whatever. And so it's a personal ID. But it's also a corporate identification, because in there and on the cover is the nation to which you belong. And with that nation come certain privileges and responsibilities, as we think of tax time here coming up, responsibilities as well as benefits and privileges. And if you're ever in an airport traveling internationally, sometimes as I'm in line with people, I'm just kind of looking at what color is their passport? Where are they from? It's just kind of interesting. And maybe you just sit down with people and you find, okay, well, they belong. There's a certain background. There's a belonging, not only individually, but to a corporate nation. And we saw this in the earlier, the morning services this morning, that in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul not only talks about our personal identity in Christ, that by grace you are saved through faith in Christ. It's not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. And that's what Bill was illustrating in this baptism, that he is now in Christ with all the promises and the gift of eternal life that comes. But we also saw this morning that there is this corporate identity as an extended blessing, that in Christ we now belong to others who are in Christ. And what a blessing that is to be part of a church. Let me just read for you the last few verses of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, those who are outside of the people of God, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Sometimes people will say, well, where is membership in the Bible? Well, that's actually one place where it is. There's actually quite a bit where we actually have the word member. But when we think of member, we think of being a part of a club, maybe with benefits, and you got your membership card from Costco, and that allows you to go in. What a racket. You pay for the membership card, and then you buy stuff there, but we do it as well as a family. But what a deal to pay for the privilege of spending your money somewhere. But that's we think of a membership that way. That isn't what the Bible is talking about. It's not a club membership. It's that you belong. It's a belonging, member of a family, or member of a body. The church is also called the body of Christ. And so we are members together. And we're members of part of a body. And that is just one of the blessings. People who may say, you know, I'm estranged maybe from some of my relatives. I used to have maybe a group of friends that they all moved away, or I moved away, or something happened, and we're no longer as close as we once were. But there is a belonging for all who are in Christ, with other people who are in Christ. And as we saw in Ephesians 2 this morning, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter your ethnicity or what your passport says on it. What matters, if you are in Christ, then you are a member with others who are part of his family. If God is your father and he's my father, then that makes us God's children and brothers and sisters together. And so that is such a blessing. As we think of the book of Matthew, it records Jesus only two times using the word church. The first is in chapter 16 where he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her. And so that's the promise that all over the world, that individuals will come to Christ and will be a part of this church. And this is a little corner of the world that we're a part of. But in the very two chapters later, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is actually talking about resolving differences between brothers and offenses. And he talks about involving the church. Well, there he can't talk about believers all over the world. It's certainly a local level. When you go to the New Testament, then you find Paul writing letters to the church, but not just all believers, but in particular places. And here we are, real people in a real place, Edmonton, gathered together. We can see one another, and we can practice the commands in Scripture regarding the church. And so we have four adults this afternoon who are taking that responsibility seriously. That not only are we individuals that belong to Christ, but we also belong to the body of Christ, the family of God. We are fellow citizens with the saints. And that takes place in a tangible level, in a real place, in real time. And so God uses different groups of people. Maybe you move away and find another group of believers there. And God has certainly, probably many of you were somewhere else before you were a part of this church family. What a blessing it is to belong, to belong to God's family by grace because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. And so we're going to have two couples that will come together. I'm going to first ask that the Hoxie family come. And so Royce and Tasha, if you would like to come up, and if any children want to come along with you, that's fine too. And so I have listened to the longer version of their testimony in Christ, They're going to share just a briefer version, and then I'll come back up afterwards.
All right. Hello, I'm Royce Hoxie. This is my wife, Tasha. I was fortunately born into a Christian family. At the age of 5, I was asked by my dad if I wanted to get saved. Out of fear of what he would think, not of what God would say or think, I said yes, and I made a profession of faith. I knew it wasn't real, but I held on to it for some time, and I held on to that. I wasn't really a bad person. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, my dad was pastoring a church in Chilliwack, B.C. I remember, I can't remember exactly what the series was that he was preaching about, but I remember he was preaching, and he was preaching on hell, and he had touched on hell a few times. And I had, at the time, I remember I had this terrible toothache, and it was unbearable, and I couldn't stand it. And I remember thinking to myself, how much worse would hell be if this one tooth could cause so much pain? After church on a Sunday morning, I remember waiting for my parents as they were closing things up and getting ready to leave. I remember sitting in the back of their car. I bowed my head and prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and asked him to save me because I didn't want to go to hell. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans, one second here. Romans 10, 12 and 13 says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." A few years later, when I was 13, I was baptized by immersion. In no way am I perfect or have I lived a perfect life, but through the grace of God, we have been on a long journey, and as he leads, I constantly go to his word for guidance, especially leaning upon 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Just going to stare at my phone because I don't like talking in front of people. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mother believes in aliens and Sasquatch. She's quicker to believe in those than Jesus. I moved to BC once I graduated high school in 2011 with my parents, and I met Royce there. We started hanging out, and I quickly realized he wouldn't hang out with me on Wednesdays or Sundays. I wondered, so who's the Wednesday-Sunday girl? Then he told me he went to church. I asked if that was just a him thing or if I could come with him. He gladly brought me. He never told me his dad was the pastor until after the message. I went to a local used bookstore soon after my first visit to church and grabbed a Bible. I don't remember what version it was, but I started in Genesis and was skeptical. I had questions about everything I was reading. Royce pushed me away to his sister-in-law for everything it seemed. He didn't want to talk to me about it at all, and now I see why he did that, but it was really annoying at the time. His sister-in-law was great about my questions. The more she answered, the closer I felt the draw to Jesus. His family went on a trip to the hot springs one day in January, and my sister-in-law just couldn't make it, so invited me over. We talked about Jesus, that only he can save us, that there's nothing that we can do in our power, just as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." And she led me to the Lord by accepting Jesus as my Savior. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Soon after, I was baptized by immersion. I didn't feel like my life was drastically different at first. I had a love for the Lord, but wondered, where this miraculous transformation was. I've definitely grown over time, though. Ephesians 1:13 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. I do find the Holy Spirit has helped discern truths, like Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Music I used to listen to, I can't stand anymore. My language has changed. I see drinking as pointless. I'm more aware of the way I dress, and these are just a few ways in which I've changed. I'm not perfect. I struggle with patience and complaining and discontentment in situations, like when your kids are acting out in front of the whole church. but I continually come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, strength, and growth in these situations. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I continually find new questions to ask, and I'm excited for continual sanctification and to not do this again.
Amen. Well, Hoxie family, you don't have to be on display anymore, so you can go back to your seats. And so I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes just for a minute. And those members in favor of the Hoxies joining together with Meadowlands, if you would just lift your hand, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up, and we welcome the Hoxies as members of Meadowlands Baptist Church. And great to have young families with young kids to join together with us. And that's part of the family, too, is grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and a bunch of cousins and fellow believers to be together with in the family. Next, we have Zach and Marcy Williams. So if you would come up and share with us your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Zachary Williams. This is my wife, Marcy, son, Caleb, and my daughter, Caitlin, sitting right there. My testimony is as follows. I grew up in an agnostic atheist family. As a child, I went to church for maybe a year or two with my mother. When I was about 15 years old, I became fascinated with spiritual things and began meddling with occultic devices. I quickly learned the hard way that there are serious consequences for doing that. I basically lost my mind. I began hearing voices in my head, and I couldn't concentrate on anything for very long. I also became delusional. When I visited the hospital to see what was wrong with me, I had all sorts of tests and scans done to see if there's anything out of sorts with my brain and my chemical balance. They found nothing wrong with me. All test results came out normal. The doctor couldn't officially diagnose me with anything, so he tried to attack my symptoms with different medications. They didn't really work, but the side effects made my life more difficult than it already was. So one of many promises for being disobedient to the Lord, Deuteronomy 28:28 says, the Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and with bewilderment of heart. This is basically the story of my life at the time. For the next 3 years, I battled with anxiety attacks, serious depression, and suicidal tendencies. I tried hard to end my life, but every time I was in the process of doing it, I'd suddenly lose my desire to die. I couldn't understand for the life of me why that kept happening. But looking back, I now know that God was sovereignly intervening. My uncle was a Christian, and having a legitimate mental illness due to brain trauma, he had an idea of what I was going through. He told me something about there being a demonic force trying to torment me and keep me from God, but if things were being unbearable, that I should pray, even if all I can do is call out his name. A couple years later, when I was nearly 19 years old, I was suffering severe anxiety attacks, and I began to remember what my uncle told me. Every time I had an anxiety attack, I would close myself in my room, lie down, and start calling out the name of Jesus. Almost immediately, the room would fill up with this amazing peace, and my anxiety would disappear. In Psalm 91:15, the Lord says, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. A few weeks later, I tried stopping my medication. When I did that, all my symptoms left me. My anxiety attacks stopped because, as I later found out, they were a common side effect of one of the medications. My other symptoms left why my other symptoms left, God only knows. And I give all the credit to him. I wouldn't normally suggest stopping medications, but in my case, my problem was a spiritual problem, not a medical one. Later that year, I was boarding in my friend's basement. His aunt was an outspoken Christian. And one day that she was visiting, we spent hours in conversation about Jesus' death and resurrection and Christianity in general. I don't recall much about that conversation, but I do know that later that same night, I repented and surrendered my life to God. The next morning, I woke up a new person, as Christ made me new. My sins were gone. I felt lighter, and the grass looked greener, and all I wanted to do was live for God. Christ has affected every part of my life since. Romans 10, 9 to 11 says that if you confess your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I desire to be a member of Meadowlands Church because I desire to be a part of a church that focuses on Bible teaching and honoring God and his word. And I see this church doing exactly that. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, I think that I need a stool. My name is Marcy, and I'm from Guatemala. My kids are Kaylin and Caleb. I know Jesus because of my father. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, so for me. So I saw the transformation of my father from night to day. And he was the one that encouraged me how the Lord can save me. I was 6 years old when I remember walking with him to church. He always spoke with me about salvation. And no matter how broke we can be, God can make miracles in our life. He can heal us, he can forgive us, and he can transform us into a new creature. He has a plan for us, and he loves us so much that he gave his son to die for our sins. And he gave us eternal life. I couldn't see God through my father, both through his speech and his through his actions, because of he was my godly example. He was an amazing husband and an extraordinary father, and I also he was an incredible human being. Everyone respect him. In my town, young people come to his store with and speak with him and ask him for some advice. I was saved at age of 9 because I think I have a better understanding and see that my father planning me a Star Harvest when I was 9 years old. I was in church. And I was always like to be around little kids since I remember until today. After COVID, I lost both of my parents. And it had been really, really hard. Sorry. My father and my mother, they both was Christian. And my hope and my faith is that someday we're going to be together again. So my father always tell me a verse, and I never forget that verse. It's Joshua 1:9, and says, "Have I not command you, be strong and courage? Do you be, fighthead, and do not dismay, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Every time I have been into trials in my life, this verse always come and comfort me. Church always have been part of my life and have been my second home. And I'm so blessed that I can see God love through many sisters and brothers. Today, I want to thank you to Maryland for welcome us, for welcome me and my family, for feed us with the true word of God, and for embrace us as a family. I have been attending Wednesdays, ladies, and I can see the love of everyone. I wanted to say thank you so much, because I can see love, the love of God through you. Thank you so much.
All right, you can turn to your seats. And I ask you one more time to close your eyes. And those members in favor of Zach and Marcy joining with our church family, would you lift your hand? Okay, you can put it down. Any opposed? All right, you can look up, and we welcome the Williams family to Meadowlands Baptist Church. It's always good to have another Williams family in the church, so that's a blessing. I'm going to ask Pastor Mark if he would come up and to pray. Pray for Bill and his continued walk with the Lord, as well as the Hoxies and the Williams. And then after that, we'll sing a final song together before we dismiss.
Well, let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. Lord, how you have walked us at one point in time from death to life. We all once were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were enslaved to the flesh. We were enslaved to our sin nature. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and the spirit of the age blinded us and kept us stuck. But as Pastor Kevin has been reminding us and pointing out, but God broke through. While we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, while we were enemies of God, you broke through. You provided your Son to come and to die on the cross, the greatest example of love. Righteousness and justice kissed mercy and peace. And Lord, all we needed to do was come to you in repentance and faith. And Lord, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for what you've done in Bill's life. And Lord, that he is no longer enslaved to the flesh. He will at times feel the flesh. But Lord, you've given him a brand new master to obey. You've given him the gift of your Holy Spirit. And may he be reminded when he feels the pull of the flesh, that, no, I have a new master. I am a new creation because of what Christ has done for me, that I get to obey the Holy Spirit. And he can turn away from the flesh and it what it desires. So Lord, continue to work in Bill's life, producing Christ's likeness, and continue to sanctify him. And Lord, that he'd be able to share what you have done with others that are struggling and that need Christ in their lives. May he be able to share the good news of the gospel. So Lord, continue to work inside of Bill's life. And we thank you for what you have done, and thank you that we got to hear of what you have done for him. Lord, for Royce and Tasha, for Zach and Marcy, Lord, you have brought these new bricks into Meadowlands to build into a spiritual building. Lord, that they have gifts, they have talents, and they have abilities that you have given to them to use in the body of Christ. Lord, that we would teach and equip them, Lord, for the work of ministry, that they would know what their gifts are, finding a place to serve in the body. And Lord, you use pictures of a spiritual building and bricks and even a physical building, physical body rather, and how each piece does and has a role to fulfill. And we thank you for that. And Lord, that as they learn to use those gifts and those talents and abilities inside of the church body, that you will be strengthening them, Lord, that you will be using them. When they feel weak, you will give them the strength to persevere. And even the ability to speak at times and help other believers that might be struggling. Lord, you have been gracious and compassionate with them. And Lord, you have comforted them. And Lord, that you have given these things to them to even comfort others. Those that are stuck in the kingdom of darkness, Lord, to hear the good news of the gospel and be pulled out from that. Again, to hear a brand new voice from your word and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I would ask that you would use them, and, Lord, that it would be edifying and that they will be able to share, again, what you have done with others. We thank you for this day and thank you for the reminder. And, Lord, that we would continue to share the good news of the gospel. There are those that do not know you. There are those that are still stuck in the kingdom of darkness. And we have the answer. We know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And may we continue to share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's stand together and sing as we close.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful afternoon.